Cars today are safer, more reliable, and packing more technology than ever before.
But if you're looking for an appliance on wheels, this isn't your show.
We want to help everyone find a car they'll really love, capable on the commute, and a laugh on your favorite road.
If you take the long way home, this is for you. New cars, used cars, whatever your budget, whatever your needs, if you like to drive, we want to help. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul. And this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate. As I keep telling you, these are getting harder. It's almost like, you know, we're not stretching people with their car choices. They're starting to stretch us with their requests, which is so...
You're right.
It's great.
You're absolutely right.
I like that it's making us study the market, you know, just, you know, see what's out there. And
well, I'm digging into corners of the internet I have no reason to go to short of these questions for the podcast. I'm just like, all right, Google, let's just try that out. Where does that lead us? Oh, this is a rabbit trail. And so, yeah, anyway.
Well, it's funny because now I'm looking up, I think of a car and I think, all right, is that sold in that country? You know, like we wouldn't select Dodge products for Europe because they're not sold there, nor would we select Renaults for America, you know, things like that.
Fair point.
Is that car sold? Well, I mean, so I'm digging in.
Thank you guys for writing. I mean, here's the thing. You're writing in and listening in from literally the entire world. And so, I mean, we've gotten in comments from Malaysia. Tonight we're going to discuss something from Poland. We've gotten a bunch of people that write in from Australia. Apparently the entire country of Canada wants to keep reminding us that we didn't get enough snow for our piece. So you're all over. So thank you for writing in from everywhere where you are.
Yeah, this is great. As Todd said, we've got Adam for our first car debate. He's in Poland. Huge fan of the show since way back to our M3 reviews. Todd, I don't know if you remember that. That was our E46 M3 versus the E90.
E92.
I loved that car.
E90, yeah, sorry.
Every time somebody brings up that car, I miss it. I'm just, all right.
Yep.
I keep having to get over that car. But he's writing in with great questions because he's got a company car, his wife has a car, he's a BMW owner, and he's trying to figure out what's next.
He's been collecting BMWs, and he's trying to stop.
Yeah. I'm trying to dig in all right, I think of this car. Is that available in Poland? I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
We got to come visit you.
The Polish websites that I've been reading today, that's very strange. That's a corner of the internet I never expected.
But anyway, diving into the Polish language. I hear you. All right, so we've also got Wayne. He is moving to Georgia, looks like, for our car debate number two. Moving to Georgia, he's got a Jeep Grand Cherokee. And Wayne, I have to admit that caught my eye when you wrote us because, you know, I've got a Grand Cherokee, brothers in arms here, Grand Cherokee. All right, anyway, so he's got this Grand Cherokee that he loves, but now he's dumping a whole bunch of money. It sounds like this thing is nickel and diming him to death. And he's thinking, all right, should I keep it? Should I drive it less? Should I add something?
It's time. I hate to say it, but it's that's when you know it's time, when it's just constantly something. That's a problem.
I guess so, because, it sounds like you're dumping money. Although, I'm not sure, Wayne, if you're keeping that and wanting to add a car or just go ahead and sell the Grand Cherokee.
It seems like he's wanting to sell it. That's kind of the vibe that I get on all
of
that.
I'm looking forward
to diving into that one. And that is kind of close to your heart as far as having a Grand Cherokee now and owning ones in the past and all that. So it will be interesting to get back into that.
Yeah.
But you know the piece of news we should discuss that has been everywhere this past week? I mean, I feel like it's one of those things. It's the elephant in the room news discussion. We must discuss it. And that is BBC Top Gear. We talked about when it had moved and when it went to Amazon. So now we're following up on it. I'm sure you've heard by now. The host lineup has been announced. And who was expecting seven people? Now, granted, seven, I'm including the Stig. Does he host or does he just drive? So at least six speaking hosts on the new Top Gear surrounding Chris Evans. And I'm looking at this photo. I've got it in front of me here. And this is a very interesting group. I know you're not surprised. I have some snarky, cynical comments about it, looking at it from a Hollywood perspective. but it's such a varied group, too.
It is. I'm coming in with a positive attitude here because I think Top Gear as a whole needed a shakeup. I mean, the magazine continues. Mm-hmm. All the publications do. But as a show, I think it would have been a wrong move for Top Gear to think, all right, let's just try to continue the same winning formula. Because really, that formula was about the people. It was about Hammond
was
and
those
Clarkson
guys.
And May and those guys.
If it was let's get three new guys, everybody would have compared, is the same three-guy format working with these new three guys? And of course, we would have all said, no, it's not.
I think so, it would have been a collective eye roll. And here's the interesting thing is, looking at this photo, a few of them if not half or more, have been on Top Gear as guests.
Yeah.
They've all got some sort of experience. And so I think, all right, well, maybe they culled from their past guest list and who did well here and who did that, you know, that kind of thing. But
you know
they're
what
all
I,
notable in their own right.
Yeah, you know what I think is interesting looking at this? I mean, there's all been sorts of discussion about Chris Evans, and it's around Chris Evans. And, you know, clearly it's going to be the Chris Evans show. I don't get the sense. When you have this many hosts, I don't think we're going to – look, everything we're going to say now, brace yourself. It's all speculation. But I'm surmising here based on kind of how you would shoot a television show, what we know about how Top Gear was shot, and, you know, of course – BBC wants to make sure this works and is going to work worldwide. So there's a lot of variables going on here, even more than we can imagine. But Chris Harris is a huge name there, and he wields a lot of power. And so I imagine this is going to be the Chris Evans show, and you're never really going to see all six of these hosts sitting around talking about anything. I think it's going to be him, and then he goes off with two hosts to do this, or you cut away to, I actually expect, the Chris Harris films will look very much like the stuff he's done so far. I bet you it's probably even he and Neil. Now, they haven't said, but, I mean, the Chris Harris Patreon page is coming down, I think. His YouTube channel's gone quiet. I suspect what they've been doing for Chris Harris on Cars is what they will continue to do with Top Gear with more clout, more budget. But it'll be Chris Evans says, let's go to Chris Harris, and they just cut away to a all-in-one film that came in the door. That makes so much sense from a production standpoint. And clearly, Chris doesn't need help to do what he does.
I suppose.
But he's a great ad here.
Sure. Well,
and it just... From a production standpoint, it just makes sense. You can just cut away to an all-in-one encapsulated film that Chris did. I bet you that's going to happen. I doubt you're ever going to see Chris Evans and all five other hosts, all six if you want to count the Stig, doing anything together. This is going to be a kind of compartmentalized show, and Chris will be the running thread.
I think that's my big question here, though. That's my big speculation about the interplay. I mean, it's really the reason that I love doing the show with you is the interplay between the hosts and the banter back and forth and the discussion. I always liked the segments on Top Gear that gave us that back and forth. And they were, whether it's a road trip or a chase or a get to, you know, point to point, who can get there first, that kind of thing. I almost think it's like all of these films could just be simply still viewed as individual segments on YouTube. They're still a host in a car. If they're not together, I could think that could get – I mean, the amount of hosts will make it interesting because we'll have different personalities.
A lot of variety.
But if they're only owned by themselves, one host drives one car on a film and then we go to the next host driving a car for a film.
Well, I mean
– how do you differentiate the two between
– the three guys
– you know, cars. And how do you differentiate that back and forth between – okay, we're just simply driving a different car in a different location. We've got a different perspective now. But what does somebody else think about that? Is there a differing opinion?
Yeah.
Just like
well,
you and I do.
Well, that's why we do both of us back and forth. Yeah, absolutely. Let the audience kind of glean what they think their impression would be because you and I are different drivers with different proclivities. There's that word. It hasn't been on the podcast in a while. But here's the thing. I think you're right. But if you look at the Top Gear prior, they had segments where they would cut away and just Hammond drove whatever supercar and then they came back. And then they had segments where it was all three of them did something. I think that's what this will be. You'll have the Chris Harris segment that is him by himself. But then you know what? He may be later in the show and it's Chris Harris and Chris Evans and Matt LeBlanc go out and do something, or Chris Harris, Chris Evans, and you know, Sabine Schmidt go do something. I think there will be – I'll be very surprised, though, if they ever have an event that is more than about three of them. Just logistically, I doubt they will.
Mm-hmm. I see
but
that.
But if I can be tacky, and I will because it's what we do on the podcast, I'm looking at this list of seven. I'm looking at this photo, and I'm thinking this is a development person's dream cast list. Because I bet you money. Because it was, let's be honest, when they reformed the show, it was Chris Evans. It was him. And of course, obviously, they were going to bring the Stig. But Stig doesn't talk. So take the Stig out of the equation. That's Chris Evans. Who do you want to host with? I guarantee you, I put money on it, that two things were brought up. Well, Chris, this show's moving on. You must have a woman. I bet you that was talked about.
I'm sure.
And then the other thing is, oh, and Chris, this show's moving on. It'd be really nice if you had some really big star, ideally a Hollywood star, because we're international now. So somebody that's a Hollywood name that is a car guy, could you find one of those?
And Tom Cruise
isn't
available.
And then I also, exactly, and I also guarantee you, right after they said we need a woman on the show, somebody said we have to have somebody that's a minority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look at this list. They've checked every one of those boxes. Now, I am not slighting any of the choices, but I guarantee you those were brought up. This Rory Reed guy, by the way, that is coming from the internet, he has done, but he's done a lot of stuff for British television. He's been a gadget reviewer. If you have not seen his Rolls Royce, I think it's the Ghost review, that is spoken word, kind of a spoken word rap, it's phenomenal. He deserves this slot.
You know,
at the same time, he's a minority, so somebody in development is singing hallelujahs because he's a minority.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
He should be on here because he's great. I'm glad that he is. But then that's the same thing with Sabine Schmidt. You need a woman on the show. Well, let's hire one that can really drive.
Right.
And they did it, which is cool.
Well, you know, interesting that I've been reading about Rory here because he's now gone from obscurity and kind of muddling along and doing a few things, as you said, shooting to international fame. And here he is, of this lineup, the only guy, the only person to be chosen from submissions, from all those auditions that Top Gear was holding.
Yeah, yeah.
The magazine, the online topgear.com here, says he is the only one that essentially won his spot from the audition. And absolutely, the guy deserves it. And I'm happy to see that, actually. I'd almost be happy to see more of people like him that deserve this shot at fame. I mean, you've got to have the usual suspects here. The Eddie Jordan choice is a bit of a surprise because who knows how he is on camera. Yeah, he's got a longtime history with cars. Of course, the racing drivers. I don't know how he is as a driver, and I don't know how his personality is on camera. So, interesting
when you take
choice,
him out of the F1 world, it'll be interesting to see outside of the F1 world, you know, how is he going to be on camera and the kind of banter that you expect from a show like this. Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
But I think Chris Harris I think it would have been a glaring omission had he not been on here. And I think there's a segment going, who's Chris Harris? But if you're a car person at all, if you don't at least consider him seriously, now, of course, he could have turned it down, but if you don't at least consider Chris Harris seriously, you've missed it. I think Matt LeBlanc is a surprise. He's clearly a car guy, but I guarantee you that's a development catalyst discussion. We need a star. Who can we get that's a Hollywood star? That would be awesome. Well, here's Matt LeBlanc, and he's been doing theater in London off and on for a while, so it's not like he's never been to London. Obviously, as you mentioned before, he's been on the show. So you can see the threads of a lot of these. This is such an interesting lineup, and I'm fascinated to see just what's the execution of one show, because I think it's going to be very compartmental, very kind of plug and play. You might be the kind of thing you shoot 15 segments, and they're not even designed for a specific show yet. You go, oh, wait, that segment we can put here, and this one we can put four episodes later, and you can fill in the TV show as you go around the big pieces that'll be three or four hosts at once.
Well, you know, they've set pretty big expectations for themselves, just the revamp and continuation of Top Gear notwithstanding, but now they've got to actually do something. And so they do have this lineup here. They've got two of these. Well, maybe three are actual real hot shoes. I mean, Matt LeBlanc isn't slow. He beat Rowan Atkinson around the track in their, you know, star in a reasonably priced car. And really, I think
Matt
the boy
can
drive.
Chris and Sabine can drive.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right. Three out of those six we know already can drive.
So
and
there'll be different segments, you know, around maybe their talents. Of course, they've got to have Sabine on the ring. They've got to do that. But how many times can they do that? They've got to have her on some different racetracks.
And she certainly does. Can we go to the ring with Sabine every possible episode? Let's hope not. Yeah.
It's a different car on the ring for Sabine. It's just you're just driving this track. We're just going to stick in different cars, and that's all you do. Anyway,
every time they go to the ring, all the rest of the hosts just throw up their hands and be like, I'm just going to lunch. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have at it, and we're going to go to lunch. So I think the first show will definitely set expectations. I mean, it's going to be so diced up after that first episode comes out because, again, speculation will abound. And it'll just be...
You said it at the top, though. You said it at the top, and I think you really hit it on the head there 12 minutes later when we're wrapping it up. But honestly, this does make me genuinely excited to see this show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really intrigued by it. Knowing and digging into who the people in the lineup, like Rory, for example, that a lot of people had never seen before. You dig into the people you may not know who they are, and I feel like the more you dig in, the more you go, yeah, great choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see this. I know what's almost weird to me is that Chris Evans is the one of the lineup I'm the least intrigued by. But
funny.
Okay,
funny.
All right,
sure.
You know, I think the rest of it is just I want to see what this is. So, but I mean, everybody's going to be watching. Obviously, the BBC knows that, which is why they're pushing so hard. So this is out there, the new Amazon, whatever the car show is going to be that those old three guys do. it's going to be a crazy time to see both of these shows in contention at once. Yeah, you know, you and I should get a show. That's what we should do.
We should
do car debates.
We should do car debates. I like...
Adam wrote us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like what these guys are doing, and just... I have so many thoughts. I'm still waiting for, of course, the show to come out. But once it does, I'm hoping for creativity past the $1 million budgets that you and I have seen in the past. I'm hoping for the creativity expanding the show and really making it something juicy. So anyway, final thoughts.
We're all waiting to see for sure. So we should talk about Adam, who wrote us from Poland, because we could talk about Poland. Sure, we know all about Poland. Poland, absolutely.
Never been
there.
You know,
when you Google car shopping in Poland, what happens is the three or four cities in the U.S. that happen to be called Poland are the first thing to come up. Just thought you should know that, Adam. So I had to kind of wrench the internet into submission today and tell it I didn't want to talk about anywhere in the U.S. I wanted to understand how to buy cars in Poland, and I will admit right up front, I still have no idea. So I will probably get a lot of this wrong, but I still have some ideas for you. He's got a cool story, though.
Yeah, he does. He's been a fan of the show, as I said at the top of the podcast here. Loves M3s. Current E30, 320i being restored. Mm-hmm. And then also his track day and actual get-around car is the E46 330ci. And he's saying that it's fast, which we think that it is, but he's kind of saying he's kind of past it. He wants something
feels like
faster.
He's outgrown it. Yeah.
No LSD, good condition, but looks like some early rust and starting to put some money into it. I'm coming at this thinking, all right, this is pushing you and I creatively to come up with some choices, but it sounds like
creative is a good word.
It sounds like he's open to some.
Is creative a buzzword for going to make it up? I'm sorry, but because that's what it feels like. I'm going to be creative here, which means I'm going to make it up. Go on.
It's a delicate term I'm using here, but I like his story because he's got this boring Skoda Octavia that I just can't. That's actually the one that caught my eye when you and I were on the Autobahn in Germany and. Yeah. Teasing the 90s Skoda and how badly it smelled. So we kind of feel your pain there, Adam.
That's his company car. Yeah. I mean, that's clearly not going away. It's a company car. So these two BMWs, one of which, again, the E30 you mentioned, the 320i, that is a ground-up resto. That is his project car. It's down to essentially the metal, and he's starting again. So clearly that's not going anywhere, and it's going to be your fun car. So this E46 is, as you said, it's kind of on the last legs, and he feels like he's outgrown it. So that may need to leave. But then his wife has what they call the Opel Antara, which is our Chevy Captiva. They have a diesel on that, so it's a small five-door SUV, you know, because obviously those exist everywhere in the world. And so he's thinking about what do we do, and he's pondering maybe selling the E46, which I agree with, and maybe also selling the Chevy or the Opel, and trying to get into one car that, let's be honest, if you've got a company car and you've got your project car, then this car, especially if you sell your wife's SUV, then this car has to be both a more fun car than your E46, but also has to be your family car, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And his number one idea is, hey, guys, do I get an E90 M3, which is the four-door M3 we love so much and you love especially? That's a great start.
I do like this start. I like the suggestion. I'm going to suggest a couple others that might seem left field. They might seem, at first glance, not sure about them, and you kind of ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I'm suggesting this, Adam, is because you said in your email that you have the possibility to buy a Volvo XC60, the all-wheel drive, used, 45,000 kilometers on it, with good condition. And so I think, okay, you're considering, as Todd just said, you're considering some family usage because you've got two kids, two young kids.
Agreed.
Your wife needs to use this. Probably you've got to, you know, you want to have some fun with it. And yeah, the Skoda will remain sort of lurking in the background. So I like the M3, and I'm not trying to dissuade you from this because it's a great choice, but I'm also thinking about fuel mileage because in America, I think probably has the cheapest gas or among the cheapest gas on the planet.
Unless you live in the Middle East, but yes.
Unless you live in the Middle East and you're a member of the Saudi royal family. But anyway, I just think I'm just wondering if you'd love it, but you just get hammered on the fuel, because I remember that review and that thing just, you had to shovel gas at this thing. And of course, the way we drove it, you know, made that
even more so. Yeah, we may as well have just pulled a tanker around behind it, because that would have helped.
Oh my gosh.
You're right.
I mean, I'm all about it, but I'm thinking, would you say, yeah, great, and then you're in it, and then you guys are really struggling from a budget perspective, and you don't get to keep it.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I'm trying to take that into consideration and really think hard, and I think I've come across a couple that you might be interested in for price.
Interesting. I have two ideas.
Oh, you do?
Neither one of them that I think about gas. But, okay, this is where you and I will be different tonight. Keep going.
It's just different. And, again, because of, you know, he's in Europe, and I just want to think, all right, gas prices
stuff. You're absolutely right. It's absolutely a factor that I completely ignored. But, again, it's me trying to talk about Poland. So here we are. Keep going.
All right. So here we go, Adam. It is Seat-Auto.pl. So I'm talking about Seat, as Todd likes to say, seat. It is definitely a
Volkswagen. Let's buy a car that's a seat. Moving on, sorry.
It's a Volkswagen brand. And so you have all the much like Audi has that, you know, that parent company underpinnings, but they operate independently. They've got the parent company lean on, but they've got that, they're doing their own thing, essentially. And that's what Seat is doing.
They take the last gen Audis and they make them the new gen Seat most of the time.
Doesn't mean
they don't refine them a lot of times and make them really good. It's just that seems to be kind of what they end up doing. But keep going.
Kind of. They've got this Leon 5D or the Leon SC that I'm looking at. And these are the 2016 cars that have their own personality. They've got their own styling. And they are sort of like miniature Audis inside. They're gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to harken back to the time when I went to the ring just briefly and drove this on the track at the Nürburgring, and I just cruising around Germany in this thing was impressed. And this was a rental car, thinking, wow, it's sort of like a mini Golf. And it's got its own size, the Leon 5D. I mean, even the ST here that I'm looking at has more space, but they have a presence at Area 51 at the Nürburgring. You know that? They are hammering these cars around the Nürburgring and developing
them. I'm going to clarify real quick. Such. Area 51 is kind of our term for this secret development row at the Nürburgring that you can't get into, but when you drive by, you see the Aston Martin booth. They just decided to brag a little bit, and they have two glass cases in there with Aston Martins. But it's that row of development places that has security that you can't get in unless you got some sort of special, I don't know, handshake or whatever. We refer to it as Area 51 at the Nürburgring. So if you're not following along, that's what we mean. We don't mean the one in Nevada. We're just referencing that. But sorry, keep going.
The secret one that doesn't exist. This actually exists. But I've been reading articles.
Exactly.
I mean, just about every manufacturer has a presence there for testing. So think of these cars as not dumbed down Audis or gussied up Volkswagens, but they do have their own flavor, and they are tested as Seats for specific markets. And so I came away really impressed. I like the styling. I think even brand new, not that we're saying buy brand new, but even get a 2015 or 2014 somewhere in there.
Sure.
Cars are something to be looked at. So think of them as the fun hot hatch. You can stick your kids in it.
I see that.
Front, I think they do have all-wheel drive, but my Polish is failing me today. And
Polish fails me often. Often. Anyway, moving on. Yeah.
Kind of, you know, because I know what stats and specs are, so I can kind of jumble mumble.
You know what else, though? Your web browser will translate that. I'm just saying. It'll translate.
It will.
Anyway,
it will.
Well, I have two thoughts. I like your Seat idea. I have two thoughts, and mine spring from a couple of factors. One, we're sitting here with Adam's wife, who has, let's be honest, the 5-door small SUV. So clearly, they're hauling some stuff around.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They have two kids. 2-year-old, 5-year-old, they're hauling some stuff around. That's been the family car. We're talking about replacing the family car here, Adam, but yet you still want to have fun with it. So I tried to think, okay, I actually like that E90 M3 a lot, but I was trying to think, what would have that family haulability, and then to look at it the other way, to haul the family, to have fun with it. So I thought of two. And here's my question where I'm going to admit my ignorance right now. How hard is it for you to go to Germany and buy a car and bring it back to Poland? I don't know. I know there's – I looked up a little bit. I know there's some taxes involved. I know there's some import stuff that goes on. I know it's possible. I know there are taxes. I am not going to pretend to understand what the actual tax ramifications are, even though I know it's doable. But I'm going to mention two other cars than that E90 on the possibility that going into Germany to get the car makes sense, because I think it's just going to give you more options. When I was looking at cars in Poland, you were just... There were fewer options in the kind of stuff I was looking at. If you're going to look at an E90, I'm going to say this to you. What about an Audi S4 or RS4 wagon?
Yeah.
I think if you could find one of those, and maybe don't even go RS4, maybe just go S4. You know, if you can get a more recent S4 wagon, that car's got a good amount of power. You go back to like the 2010, 2011, which is the current body style, but the S4 where it's now... supercharged or turbocharged, whichever, I forget. Moving on. The point is, it's a fast, actually usable family wagon that you can get over there. And also, if you're going to go there, you can't ignore the E-Class wagons. What about a used E-Class wagon? And possibly, if you can find one, something that's an AMG flavor, depending upon your actual budget and how old you can go. But I'd like to keep you a little bit newer, because that's the problem you're having with your current E46 BMW. But I think the Audi wagon or the hot Mercedes wagon, you get your family car. It is a genuine family car, but you can have real, genuine fun with it.
I like that. I don't know about, yeah, going to other countries, but they do have open borders there, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem.
Yeah, I'm not saying those cars aren't available in Poland either. I'm just sitting here thinking, can you go across the border and get a better list of options, and then what are the ramifications of bringing it back? I'm just thinking, if you go across the border into Germany, you're going to have so many more of those cars just in existence. So I would think you could get more for your money that way, and then, of course, you'll have the ramifications of taking it back. I don't know how – I'm not going to pretend to, but it's something to ponder, I think, for sure.
I think you did great. Those are great suggestions, honestly. I mean, I kind of went the German route a little bit. And before we move on, Adam, one quick suggestion is that Renault Megane that we keep talking about. We're liking that a lot. And I admit I'm offering up a couple front-wheel drive suggestions to you, but you can't ignore these cars. I'm even looking at the new Megane GT on their website with a new redesign. I even like that. And I'm thinking, all right, go get yourself a slightly used Megane. And
you so badly want a French car for no really apparently good reason.
No, for no reason. I want the Peugeot RCZR. I want that car. Just for no reason. I haven't even driven it. I just want it. Anyway, crazy styling.
Oh, man.
I had a French guy in my design school class, so he was always drawing crazy stuff. So anyway, sometimes they know what they're doing. Other times, not so much.
Well, the Megane really is, it's a victory for sure, I have to say. It's definitely that case. Speaking of the Megane, we drove that in our film Pilgrimage. If you haven't seen it yet, we would love for you to watch it either Vimeo or Blu-ray. And I don't know if you've noticed, Paul, but in the last week or so, a lot of people have watched that film on Vimeo. We've had a kind of a steady state of Blu-rays for a while since we released it back in December. But in the last week, there's been an explosion of watching on Vimeo. Thank you, guys. And if you're watching, or if you just watched and you're hearing this now, please leave a review on Vimeo. We would love to hear your thoughts, and others are reading your thoughts, so we would appreciate that. Again, it's easy through Vimeo. It's easy through Amazon. If you're looking for how to get there, here's a thought. We have a new website. Same old place, everydaydriver.com, but the whole website is new and different. So go there. From there, you can find it's now our hub of anything we're doing. This podcast, our films, all of our YouTube stuff, you can find it very easily in one click from that website. So just try it out, everydaydriver.com.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I will say, in addition to our Everyday Driver TV Gmail, you can also contact us via the website. So that does work, and that populates right to our email, so we'll read the same stuff.
Yep.
A number of you have already been doing that, and it's great. Mm-hmm. So I will say submit your fan questions there, not only on Facebook, but submit them there. That's just yet another place to reach us, and it does populate to our inbox here that both Todd and I see.
It's very easy. It's a whole new setup for the website, and it's working great. So we definitely encourage you to do that. We should go on to Wayne, who wrote us here, who's moving from Rhode Island to Georgia, and 26 years old. He's moving down there. His girlfriend lives down there now, and he has the 2002 Jeep Grand Cherokee, big old V8, immaculate condition. He's done all kinds of off-road things here. Did you notice what I noticed here? He likes to go off-roading, but he'd rather go in someone else's vehicle.
I think that's very, very telling. I like having pickup trucks that other people own. I like having ski boats that other people own. I mean, I think this is a great attitude. Yeah, let's go four-wheeling in your car.
Exactly. I'm going to leave my Jeep right there. Let's take yours. No, but anyway, so Wayne, he's writing to us and actually saying that this is starting to nickel and dime him a bit. And so it sounds like it's time to get out of it, Wayne. I hate to say it. And that brings us to our big car discussion.
Well, I like this email. And like I said, Wayne, your email caught my eye because of the Jeep Grand Cherokee, but it also caught my eye because of another reason. As I'm reading through, you're thinking of various things. You had an 850R turbo Volvo from 94, which are cool cars. You had a Subaru. You had, you've had other cars, but you're looking at such a variety. And this caught my eye because I think Wayne's kind of open. I don't think you're locked into, I like German cars, well, I'm kind of thinking about a BMW already.
The three that he lists couldn't be more different in personality. Yeah. He's got a Subaru Legacy GT, the Chevy SS, and the Mazda CX-5 are his top three that he's most considering. Lay those cars next to each other and go, none of these are the same.
Right.
So that's really interesting. The hard part, though, is he's talking about he has about $25,000, which does take the Chevy SS right off the table. And then he says, hey, what about a Honda Accord Sport? Of course, he wants manual and he wants a bit of a fun car. He needs it to run because clearly this Jeep is just starting to be a hole in your pocket. And he's even thinking about once he moves and gets settled, maybe buy an old Fox Body Mustang. Take a page out of what Matt Farah is doing right now. I mean, a lot of people, but he's doing it very publicly. Buy an old Fox Body Mustang and build that out. So we've got a possibility of two cars for Wayne, but I think the biggest question that I'm hearing here is, do you get rid of the Jeep? And if so, what do you get for $25,000? And I've got actually two ideas, and then I think I've got a sniper shot.
Do you? Well, all right. Well, I like that you're keeping the Jeep Grand Cherokee running. Probably cool off-road vehicle.
Except he's not off-roading it. He's off-roading it other people's.
And it even doesn't sound like, I don't know if your girlfriend has a car, because he is moving to Georgia for his girlfriend, so I'm sure she's got her own car. I don't know what she's got. It doesn't say here in the email. But I think, all right, so you've had the Jeep. You're going big V8, so you don't need that. $25,000. We cannot We cannot ignore something like a fully loaded Subaru BRZ. I mean, that's just going straight into sports car and something completely different.
Sure.
It was more along the lines of, we have to say it rather than this is what I think you should get. Maybe worth a drive, but you could afford a fully loaded, slightly used BRZ and go for it, and it could be a lot of fun. It could be what you're looking for. But it sounds like you want variety.
I didn't go there, but yeah.
I'm just kind of thinking out loud, but what have you got? I'm curious to know.
Well, I mean, you said to us, Wayne, what about a Honda Accord Sport? And I'm going to say this to you. That seems initially like an oddball thought. However, we have a guy we know in the Park City area. In fact, he might even be listening. His name is Sasha, and he has the most normal-looking maroon four-door Accord. Don't misunderstand what that car really is, though, because Sasha drives it hard. He's done a lot of suspension work to it. I mean, I say a lot. It's not like he's got coilovers under there, but he's done sway bars and a few other things. And he's done totally new tires and rims. I've done a canyon run with him. That car flies. So if you actually, here's the thing about the Accord Sport. You couldn't just buy it and be like, this is the great fun car. If you're wanting to put some money into it, though, it really could be. You definitely have to get tires. Watch our Honda Accord review. We hated the stock tires because they were eco tires and they just gave up before they did anything else. But, you know, if you get that car is very usable. It'll be tons of reliable, lots of room. You're going to have to do some stuff to turn it into a more sporty car. But out of the box, it's a great platform. I've seen it done. It's not a bad idea. I think at $25,000, you have to look at a BMW E46 M3.
I was thinking about that.
Come on.
Might be time for an
stick
M3.
Stick shift, great inline six. That's an amazing engine. You're going to have to shop carefully, but you buy the 6-speed on that. That's a fun car to drive. However, I have my sniper shot.
You do?
Are you ready?
Ready.
I do. I think, because here's the thing. You're talking about, you're getting out of a Jeep Grand Cherokee. You're used to having some haul around room. You just are. You're used to having some haul around room. But you want a car that's going to be reliable. So I actually think if I could get you into something new, that'd be even better. But you want fun. You want manual. And then I went, wait a minute. What am I trying so hard for? Get yourself a brand new Fiesta ST. Load that car out. It's not even $25,000. It's going to have more just usable space to drive. I mean, look, it's not a big car. I'm not going to pretend it's a big car. But if you throw the back seats down, it actually has more cargo space than the BRZ that you brought up earlier, Paul. It isn't going to be as dynamically interesting, but it's going to be close. It's just going to be dynamically different. And that Fiesta ST you could get it new, you could possibly, if you're not sure if you'd like it, lease it. Lease one of those for 2 years. Lease a Fiesta ST. It's going to be a riot in all of the normal life driving things. That's the thing about the Fiesta that gets underappreciated, is if you just do normal life driving, it's fun doing all of that. Then if you go to a back road, it's fun doing that too.
I like that. But if you're going to say Fiesta, I will say don't ignore the Focus ST for 25 grand. If you truly have 25 grand, that's in the sweet spot too, and it might fit your need for space, because the Fiesta is small. Even fold the seats down, it's small. So if you're used to space and you just like that hauling capability, you have a dog or whatever, the Focus ST can't be ignored either. But those twins, go drive those. That would be interesting.
It's the larger version. If you can stretch, I agree. Mm-hmm. And you could start talking about WRXs. The hatchback of that is viable too. I mean, now we're getting into more used cars and more used options. But I just thought, you know what? You've been in a car that's been stealing your money because it's just slowly starting to nickel and dime you. Let's go the other way. Car with a warranty. You pay for it and you're done. It's just going to run and it's going to be fun. 25 grand Fiesta ST.
I find this so funny. For those of you listening, you've probably noticed, people trying to get out of, like Adam, trying to get out of the E46 330, almost an M3. Mm-hmm. And here we are recommending an M3 for Wayne. It's you never know. What's good for somebody might not be good for somebody else.
Sure.
And if you've already experienced, if you've already experienced that car and you've lived with it for a while, move on. And that's what both Todd and I are trying to do. I mean, we're doing the same thing. We're taking our medicine.
Yeah, get as much of that car life experience as possible. But hopefully there's something in there, Wayne. But I couldn't get past, I felt like that was the obvious answer, at least from my perspective for you, was that looking at Fiesta ST. But I like the Focus, too. You bring up a good point there, just about sheer scale. That's a great car.
Guys, don't forget to write to us with your questions on the new website. Please check it out. Let us know what you think. And you can ask us questions there and on the Facebook site. So post up your questions. It can be about anything. We can talk about whatever. And happy to answer your questions about us, about cars, about the show, whatever you're thinking about. And don't forget to write to us with your own debate, everydaydrivertv at gmail. Keep writing. And for those of you listening outside the U.S., all over the world, thanks for stretching us. Keep it coming. Bring it on.
Definitely.
So we
look
that.
Up random places and have my web browser translate. So I go, what are we doing now? Yeah. The only problem I will say is that when I have to do financial conversions, I can't do math, and that's all bad. But anyway,
I hear
you. Moving on.
I hear you. So please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. We are coming at you Tuesdays, and a lot of fun stuff. We've got Miatas coming up this week. Four generations of the Miata.
It's a huge film. It's going to be one of our longer free films ever. I mean, it's going to be up there, 30 to 40 minutes. It's going to be a big boy because we're covering all four generations. And it was shot in the fall when the leaves were turning. It's beautiful. Guess what I'm working on right now? That's why I'm talking about it. But yeah, that is coming this Thursday. And most Thursdays this year, we will have something. Notice I didn't say every Thursday, but most Thursdays we will. So lots of content coming for us. We're trying to be very particular in what we are scheduling this year to just throw a lot of great films at you guys that we really shot and curated as best we can. So look for that.
Yep, absolutely. One last thing before we go, and that is our Instagram. We are ramping that up, and we have somebody doing social media for us. We've got Chance.
We're serious this time.
He is actually running the Instagram for us and posting pictures of the stuff that he shoots on set, as well as Gavin, Edgar, Thomas, all the guys, as well as us. So we're going to really be working hard. So find us on Instagram. Find favorite car photos of the cars that we drove, and find us there.
And do we share the numbers thing? Yeah, we should. We should. We were talking about that earlier today.
Yes. Let's do it.
At thousand follower intervals. We're at intervals. We're at like almost 500 followers right now. But every 1,000, we're going to give something away. Maybe films. It may be backlogs of shirts we have. So follow us on Instagram. If you hit one of those magic 1,000 numbers, you'll be getting something for free. So you can do that as well.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Miata Peace this week.